Good morning. Are y'all having a good day? I'm having a good day because I turned 41 today. Woohoo! Yes. We at 1040 Connections want to say thank you for everything that you all have done over several years in order to impact the incredible need that that video was just speaking about. Today, I want you to know that it is National Orphan Month. It is National Adoption Month. And it is also the day of prayer for the persecuted church. So it is a full day today, and it's exciting to me to be gathered with a group of believers so that we can celebrate what God is doing in the world. This morning I have with me Jolie. She's my first daughter, my first child, Jolie, and she is going to speak for just a minute about National Orphan Month.
We're adopting from China, and we're selling candles so I can get my plane ticket to go to China and get my sister, and the candles are $15.
Very good. Very good. Okay, going back down right here. So as Jolie was saying, we are in the adoption process, but we have just been matched with a little girl from China. Her name is Phoebe. She is almost 12 months old. We will probably get her when she's about 15 months old. So as we celebrate National Orphan Month, we know that there is one less orphan in the world. Praise God. So if you don't mind, if we could just, as a community of believers, pray right now a blessing on our daughter, Phoebe Shan. So let's just pray together. Dear Jesus, as a community at Journey, people who are on the journey of trying to live for you so that you will have pleasure in our lives, as a community, we lift up little Phoebe Shan to you right now, Jesus. As she is going to sleep as we begin our day, we just pray that you, Jesus, will send angels to minister to her, Jesus, that she will have sweet dreams, and that right now, Jesus, you would speak over her, Phoebe, you are adopted. And Jesus, I pray today for the day that you will say to her, I adopted Phoebe, when she comes into your kingdom, God, and we claim it today as the Journey Church. In your name we pray, amen. We have been in the process of adoption for quite a bit of time. And the reason for that is because you and I are adopted. If we know Jesus Christ, we have been adopted ourselves. And this morning, as I think about all the things that are going on in the world, and I think about the fact that we're celebrating National Adoption Month, I really begin to think about what that means for you and me to be adopted. What does it really mean for us to be adopted? But I also begin to move my mind towards all of the children in the world, all of the peoples of the nations that do not yet know, they have never heard of the understanding that God, the Most High God, wants to reach down and to change their lives. Not just for eternity, but also in the day to day now. So as we talk today, I pray that your hearts will be stirred about how God sees you, but also then how you can see God. And in the series you've been in about what is God saying, and last week in what is your response to his words, I pray that today will give you even more, more of a passion to step into what the video talks about, lives not of safety, not of comfort, not of personal pleasure, but a life actually of danger, a life of risk, a life of other focused living. Because it is in this life, this set of life, that there is true abundant living. That's where Jesus knows it comes from. It's where we jump off, as Stacy said last week, we jump off in the dark and God catches us. God longs to be catching you because you're living in the identity and the calling in which he has placed on every one of our lives. This morning I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. So if you can turn, if you have your Bibles, if not, it's going to be up here. And you can follow along with me. Just in honor of God's word today, I'd like to stand up because in this passage we see the prophecy of the Messiah, But we also, as a church, know that this has been fulfilled. And just in honor of what Jesus has done today, I would like us to just stand up. And also, you can stretch your legs just a little bit. Okay, let's turn to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called mighty oaks, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. You may be seated. How many of you believe that the world is just a happy, peaceful, easy place right now? How many think that? How many think the world is a bit fearful? There's a lack sometimes of hope in our world. Do you feel that? The tension that's happening globally right now? It is different doing God's work now than it was even 5 years ago, right? It's harder now than even 3 years ago. It is a hard place. And in the midst of that brokenness, the midst of the despair, the midst of the pain and the agony and the confusion and the stress in which the world has existed since the fall, Isaiah the prophet speaks a prophecy over the world that it's not going to stay that way. It's not going to stay a place of despair. It's not going to stay a place of ruins. It's not going to stay a place of endless pain and agony. And here the prophet Isaiah is prophesying the messianic prophecy that says the Messiah, he will come. Now imagine if you were living before the Messiah had come. Imagine, you're just waiting and you're just waiting. It's silent. You see everything around you, but the answer has not yet come. For us in this room, we have seen, we have heard that the messianic promise has been fulfilled in whom? Who fulfilled it? Say it again. Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy. And not only that, but he claimed it when he stood up to preach in Luke chapter 4. What did he say? This. He went back hundreds of years before and said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. I have been anointed to preach good news to the poor. And then after he says this passage in Isaiah, portions of it, he then says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ fulfilled what the people long ago longed to be fulfilled. And let's just look briefly at what Jesus is fulfilling based on that Isaiah 61 passage. Look at this. For those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Now, in this time in the biblical culture, when people were in mourning, and this is still happening in Asia today, when people are in mourning, they would put on sackcloth, not beautiful silk, not comfortable clothes. They'd put on harsh clothing, dark, dreary clothing, and they'd place it around their shoulders. They would place ash on their heads. They'd place ash, and they would grieve, and they would scream out, and they would cry in their agony. If you've traveled internationally, you have seen this. You have seen where the emotions from within, they begin to be shown on the outside, and you see the intense grieving of people who have no hope. And it also talks about that there will be an oil of joy instead of mourning. The world is in mourning. The world is waiting for that oil of joy. And then it goes on to say that a garment of praise instead of despair. So I want you to close your eyes for just a minute. Just close your eyes, just for just a few minutes or seconds. Close your eyes. And I want you to imagine in the midst of your greatest pain of life that what Jesus is saying to you is, on your head I place a crown of beauty. Whether male or female, God places a tiara on your head, placing value upon you. Keep your eyes closed. He then takes oil and he anoints your forehead with joy. And then he takes a garment of praise and he takes off the sackcloth of mourning and of agony and of brokenness and distress, and he places on you a garment of praise. Open your eyes. Are we living out those things God's clothed us with? Are we living out this value that when God places a crown, a tiara on our heads, are you living out that identity that you have value to God? He doesn't want the ash on your head. He wants a crown of beauty that he sits upon your head to claim you as his own. And then the word, whenever you see an oil in the Bible, it means an anointing. So Jesus, the word is mesa in Hebrew, and it means the wiping. Jesus Christ is the mesa on your head. He anoints you. Why did they anoint in the Old Testament? Do you remember? To claim the calling of David or of Saul as king, so that they would live out their destiny. So God has placed a crown of value on your head, mesa. He's wiped your forehead with calling and with destiny. He intends for you to have a destiny that radically shapes and changes the world. That's his plan for you. His plan for me. Mesa. And Jesus comes and he wipes away the sin of our lives. And he places there the oil of joy as we realize we have been changed and transformed by the Messiah whose prophecies have been fulfilled. And the garment of praise, this is where he places within you the attitude of thankfulness and of gratitude and understanding who God is, whose you are. You're on the winning team. You've won because of Jesus Christ. And he changes our attitude to where we don't have to live our lives in a spirit of despair and of fear in a world that is dangerous, in a world that is scary, in a world that creates such stress in so many of us. He wants you to have this concept of this praise that comes out because you know who you belong to. It's amazing, isn't it? Are we walking within that identity? Now, many of us are walking in that. We're walking in the fact that we have been told by God the truth of Jesus. We've responded to it. This is what he wants us to live inside of. We know that. But did you know that there's loads of people in the world? And the video you saw, this millions, billions of people in the world who've not yet heard that Jesus Christ wants to place a tiara of value on people's heads, a garment of praise so that they praise the Most High God. They want that Jesus wants to wipe away their sin and put calling and destiny into them. I want to tell you about two windows today that you've probably heard of, at least the first one, the 1040 window. In the 1040 window, it's where half of the world's population lives, and 95% of the world's unreached people groups are inside of that window. It's a place where they estimate that 2 billion of the people have never even heard the name of Jesus. Say Jesus with me. I hope I never get over the beauty of that name. In Thailand, about a year ago, I was walking, my kids had seen the Golden Arches, and we went in because they needed the preservatives, I guess, of McDonald's after eating good, healthy Asian food for a while. So we went into the McDonald's, and as we were leaving the McDonald's, there was a row of young women selling themselves. Immediately, we saw what was going on, and Chad walked over to the side, and I approached some of the women and began a conversation with some of the women in a very broken, trying to do very simple English. And finally, I asked them, do you know Pra Yesu? Do you know Jesus? And then they began to talk Thai with one another for a few minutes. And finally, they came to consensus and they said, is that the one that rides the motorcycle up and down the street? Is that the Western man that rides the motorcycle? No idea. I had even used the word in Thai for Jesus. They thought Jesus was the Western man who rode a motorcycle. I can't tell you how much I wished at that moment that Jesus would have ridden up on a motorcycle and pulled back his shades and said, "It is I am the Messiah, I have come." He didn't do that. I was a bit disappointed. But what I realized at that moment is that the Messiah had come to that sacred ground in Thailand because I, as his person, was there. I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, was there. And so then I began to try to act out Jesus and the cross and all of these things to try to share with them that when Jesus looks at them, he loves them. But the 1040 window is full of young women like these three that I spoke to. Full of those people. They have never yet heard of the value and the identity and the calling and the attitude that Jesus can give them. They've not rejected Jesus, people. They've simply not gotten to ever get a glimpse of this magnificent God who came in the flesh to change the mourning of the world. They've not heard it. Now, there's a second window I want you to learn about today, and it's called the 414 window. Let me ask you a question. How many of you came to Christ before the age of 15? Raise your hand. Okay. Did you know that the statistics say that 71% of people come to Christ before the age of 15? Did you also know that in the world today, half of all the people that are alive in the world, they are under the age of 20? The world is full of kids. Full of kids. And they say from study that the 414 is the ages between 4 and 14. It is a window of time when the majority of worldview in people is established. That is why 71% of people are coming to Christ within that window. It is a formational time in the life of a person anywhere in the world. That is why you have little 5-year-olds in schools being taught about jihad. That is why you have 5-year-olds that are being sent to Tibetan Buddhist monasteries. That is why you have kids that are learning how to be missionaries of different religions. It is this window when the worldview is shaped. And I praise God for what God's doing in Journey, your good children's program. The way that you are trying to impact kids, not just here, but also internationally. Because that window is absolutely critical for people to have the greatest opportunity to hear of Jesus Christ. Now, if we go down into this passage a little bit more, Jesus has talked about our value. He's talked about our anointing, our calling, our purpose. He's already talked about how he helps to fulfill this concept of the attitude that can change the mind, the heart, the soul, all of the full transformation. And then he says this, "They will be called mighty oaks, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." This is your identity. So God, after he dresses you in all of this newness, then he says, "The new creation has come. You've received Jesus Christ." And he says, "Wake up and I call. I pour into you the calling that I want pulled out for the sake of the world." God's not trying to pull out of you riches so that you'll have a huge house. He's not speaking over your lives that he pulls out of you so that you can go and afford a movie whenever you want to, or go to Disney World every 3 months if that's your greatest desire. He is calling out from within you this ability to be pulled into his mission that literally changes eternities for other people. He calls you. He sees you. And not only does he see you, but he says, "I adopted that one." It's not that you were adopted passively. He looks out and he sees Kim Hill and says, "I adopted Kim. I adopted her. I took her in. I claim her. I died on the cross so that she could be brought into my family." That's what God does. He looks at Mark and he says, "I adopted Mark. I adopted this one." He actively says he took the initiative to bring you into his family. It didn't cost him anything. It didn't cost him nothing. It cost him everything. It cost the very God that we claim to be the Most High God to be absolutely broken. His body was literally broken. His soul, his spirit, everything was crushed. and it delighted the Trinity to crush the Almighty God so that he could claim you because you're expensive. You have value. You have purpose. And he wants to invite you in to partner with him in order to change the destinies of other people. You have been adopted. You are adopted. National Orphan Month. You were an orphan. You were that. That was your identity until God allowed you to hear the truth and you understood it and the concrete was taken from your eyes and mind and you realized that you yourself could be nothing on your own. You couldn't be good enough for God. God has to be good enough for you. Today, the Tibetan Buddhist will spin prayer wheels for a long time. And those prayers they're hoping will just go out into the atmosphere so that their lives might be changed. The Muslims will bow down 5 times today in order to seek Allah, hoping that when they die, that when Allah looks at the scales, that their good will outweigh the bad, but then they have to also hope that Allah is having a good day. And that Allah will allow them to go to paradise. The Indians today, they're going into the Ganges River, which has 255,000 times the fecal content of what the National Health Organization says is okay. And they're getting into that filthy, dirty water. And they're baptizing themselves and they're singing a song, "Behold the Mother Ganga who takes away the sin of the world." Who was that first spoken about? Jesus, John the Baptist, "Behold the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world." But these Indians, they've not heard that. And so they baptize there, hoping that they will be allowed to enter in to moksha, to enlightenment, to salvation. When I think of this passage and what needs to be done in the world, I don't feel despair. I do experience urgency. We have an urgent message to tell. And Journey has the opportunity to enter into this 414 window in India. And the project that you're trying to do at 1040 Connections is you are trying to start a school in a slum of Western India. It's a city that has 50% of its people living in slum dwellings. And so what 1040 Connections is doing with our Indian partners is we go into these slums and we start preschools. A lot of the kids aren't in school. A lot of the kids don't have a hot meal every day. And so for $4,000, we're able to support an education of 30 kids and feed them every day a hot meal. Now, what happens in all of this, we go in with education, but the teachers are also equipped and empowered and anointed Mesa church planters. So they go in and they teach the Hindi letters and they teach how to count and they do all of these things, but they also teach the kids songs in their own heart language. The songs go back to their families and the parents begin to hear truth through song. And then what happens is there's an emergency in a family of the slum and the kids are in the slum school and they say, you know, but my teacher says we can pray and that God answers prayers. Can my teacher come and maybe pray for my sick sister? The parents say, sure, they've tried everything. So the teacher, that's what she's been praying for, goes into the home and the book of Acts, full of miracles and power encounters, takes place in Western India. And lives are changed. Let me tell you 2 quick stories. One of our teachers has this testimony. She had 3 children that all died by 9 months of age. 3. The doctors told her it was a genetic issue and that every child that she ever conceived would die. The next 3 children she aborted, feeling despair and mourning, but afraid and had never heard that the Messiah had entered into the earth. But then she hears of Jesus. She hears the story. She gives her life to Jesus. She conceives. Does she follow the pattern and go back and get a 4th abortion? Or does she understand her identity? That she doesn't have to fear what would be easy for all of us to fear. And she allowed that baby to grow inside, and that baby was born The baby has now made it to her first birthday. Her name that they named her is Mahima, which means God's glory. Now that is a story that will start a church in India. And that's one of the teachers that 1040 Connections works with. There's also a story of a little girl. And her parents wanted her to be in the slum school, but her legs were very bowed and she couldn't walk. So they would have to carry her to the school. They would sit her at the school, she would learn, and then they would carry her home. One of the students told the mom, well, our teachers pray. They say God can heal. And so the teachers invite the parents invite the teacher into their home. And the teachers, there's two in each school, begin to pray for the little girl's legs. It was not an instant healing. Every week they would go and pray for the little girl's legs. And slowly God began to take crooked legs and straighten them. Her legs are now straight, and this little bitty precious girl walks to school. Now that is a story that will start a church. So as you seek to try to help us find $4,000 to start a new school, you're actually starting not one church, but probably 3 to 4 to 5 churches will spin off in the future with this. And what is exciting is that we start these schools and within 3 years, they're self-sustaining. They're self-sustaining because the church is established, and then we teach the church how to give to their own. That's what Journey has the opportunity to be a part of this as Christmas comes into the season. When you give, you enter into the window. Two windows. You enter into the window of children, and you enter further into the window of the 1040 window. And you, my friends, will change the world. The other day at dinner, we were reading a story about Martin Luther, the German reformer. And in that story, he talks about how there were some, you know about the German Reformation for the church and all of those things. And there were some, 20% at that time in Germany were living in convents. 20% of the population not having children. Well, finally, there was a group of nuns that decided they wanted to leave the convent. So the only way they could get out was they couldn't just walk out the door. They had to sneak out. So they made a plan, and they got into these barrels, possibly made of oak, we don't know. They got into these barrels that usually contained fish, and they were delivered to Martin Luther. They felt like Martin Luther, since he was a reformer, might help them. And so when they got to the monastery, or to the place where Martin Luther was, they opened up, and out of these barrels came 20 nuns or something like that. Now, if the women would have been sent back home, their families, in fear of the institution, would have immediately sent them back to the convent. So Martin Luther, the reformer, realized that the only way they were safe was to get married. So there were all these nuns and monks getting married. Well, there was one nun that came out, that was kind of the ringleader of this whole group of nuns, and she said, I will have none other than Martin Luther. So she claimed him, and so Martin Luther chose to get married to this woman. The day that he chose to get married, he wrote a letter to a friend, and he said, today I believe I have made the angels laugh and the devil cry. Now, my question to my kids as we were eating dinner that night is, do we make the angels laugh with our lives, or do we make the angels cry? Do we make Jesus delight with what he sees, or does Jesus say, my name, they're putting my name in mud. You see, God chooses to call us here mighty oaks. And the oak tree, if you study it, it's a mighty tree. All of us like oak trees. A mighty tree starts from a little acorn, and it becomes this mighty oak. And when you study oak trees, you find out that they are big, they are expansive, they help wildlife and people. They're used in order to make beautiful things, maybe like barrels, but also to make houses and boats. They have value. And God continues to speak, you are an oak tree. A mighty, they also are resistant to attack. So God calls you in the midst of the dangerous world, the difficulties of the world, that you are resistant to attack. That doesn't mean you won't be attacked. But you are resistant, so when you are knocked down, you can rise again. That is who you are. That is your identity. Now, my question for myself is, in my life, where am I an acorn, and where am I a mighty oak? And you know what I've learned is just because I've been a Christian now for 35 years, it doesn't mean I'm a mighty oak. You can be a Christian for 50 years and still be an acorn. You can be a Christian for 4 years and be a mighty oak. And what we're trying to do with Lunch Change, what Journey is seeking to do with Lunch Change, is to take these 4-year-olds, these 5-year-olds, these 6-year-olds, these 7-year-olds, and place on them a tiara. To place on this attitude that there is a place of worship and of praise. To place upon these children the opportunity for Jesus Christ to anoint them. And then for Jesus Christ to call out to them with the church and say, "You, my children, are acorns to grow up to be the mighty oaks." And if you continue to look, why do we want to be mighty oaks? A planting of the Lord for the delight of his splendor. Many of you are keeping up with ISIS. And as we understand that we have been adopted by God, and the idea that the church around the world is seeking to try to take care of orphans, we cannot forget that today is the day of prayer for the persecuted church. You know what's happening in Iraq and Syria, but do you know the part children are playing in Iraq and in Syria? There's a symbol, and I did have it. It's not showing up on the slide, but is it up there now? Oh, there it is. Y'all are seeing it. I'm not seeing it. There's this letter right here, Nun. And it's a letter that identifies Christians as being the Nazarene. That means the followers of the Nazarene. So what is happening in these brutal places for the gospel? Homes are being marked with this symbol. And if ISIS sees the symbol, they feel they have all freedom to go in and to slaughter. Now, if your family was living with the Nun sign on your home, would you be in despair, in mourning, in stress, in agony, in angst? I would be. Yet, we can always know that we are the oaks that with the attack, even if we die, we see the Messiah. Now, what is happening? I read about this and it's confirmed. Before I would say it, I made sure it was confirmed. This symbol was in one, and I'm just talking about one village, so it's happened in multiple. They went door to door to the followers of the Nazarene. And then knock on the door. Open the door. Are you followers of the Nazarene? They weren't looking at the parents. They were looking at the kids. Are you a follower of the Nazarene? I am a follower of the Nazarene. And that child would be slaughtered before the mom. And ISIS would leave without the parents being killed. And they would have the dead child who claimed her or his adoption to the full. They didn't let go of the fact that they were adopted. And the report says that they went through this village, home after home after home after home. Do you know how many children stood as mighty oaks? 100% of the kids stood as mighty oaks because they knew intrinsically, intuitively, that they could not deny Jesus Christ. Now, do you think those parents are in mourning? Do you think those parents are in angst? They saw their kids die as martyrs. Oh, I can't even imagine. But I do know that the Church of Journey exists. And I do know that the Church of Journey can be praying for these parents, that the oil of joy will be placed upon their foreheads, that they will continue to hold on to the hope of the Messiah who has come and is coming again. It's a day of prayer for the persecuted church. But Church Journey Church, I say the day of prayer for the persecuted should be every single day. And I don't believe we should ever leave a place where there's a group of believers congregating that we don't pray for our sisters and brothers who are struggling in intense situations. So to close today, I want you to think through a few things. What God has clothed you with, what God's calling up out of you. Have that imagery. This is full of metaphors. Think about, am I an acorn? Am I an oak? Am I somewhere in between? Think about, Have you recognized the cost it took for Jesus to adopt you? And you know, there is cost to adoption on the earth, but I would say now that I know Phoebe Shan, I wouldn't stop at anything, any cost, to get her to my family, because she's mine. And Jesus felt the same way. The Trinity felt the same way. And he said, okay, this is going to cost, and it's going to cost us coming to the earth, and it's going to cost living a perfect life that we have all the temptations of a human, and it's going to cost us having to deny ourselves every day, and it's going to cost our blood, and we're going to be hit and attacked by Satan, but that's what we're going to do. So Jesus speaks over you, you were adopted, and the response in love back to Jesus is, I am a follower of the Nazarene, right? Not because we have to, not because it's a list of rules. But instead, it is this delight to say, I want to be a planting that delights and gives pleasure to the God who adopted me. So I can take it to every area of life. Will I live with a boyfriend before I get married? No, I'm a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I will live a pure life by God's power and his grace. Will I watch the show that everyone is talking about? You watch it. Oh, my goodness, what is it doing? No, I am a planting for the day of the Lord's splendor. I will bring God pleasure. I will make the devil cry today. So as you evaluate your life, I encourage you to evaluate your life today. Where are you helping Jesus and the angels laugh? And where are you helping the devil laugh? And if I evaluate my life, there are some areas I am an acorn. Just getting started. And there are other areas that I've hopefully grown outside of the acorn stage, because I want to be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Let's pray. Jesus, we acknowledge that though you want everyone in the world to be your child, that you give a choice. And I just pray that if there's any here today that have never yet said, I want to be a new creation, I want to become an acorn in the hands of God, I want to claim today is my adoption day. I pray, Jesus, that any person here would understand they can't make it to you alone, that they need Jesus Christ. They would understand their sin that separates, that brings them into this valley of despair and of mourning. And that, Jesus, they would choose to turn their lives back towards you, Jesus, repenting and claiming you as the Messiah, as Lord. They would give their lives to you. And God, I also pray for those of us who would be the majority of us in this room, that we know we've become acorns. We have been adopted by you. We remember when we gave our lives to you. Jesus, I am asking that the calling that you want to pull out of each individual to live lives of destiny will take place today. That those who are on that journey will continue, and those that need to be encouraged will be encouraged, God. God, in you there is no condemnation, but in you there is incredible challenge. And I pray that, God, you would challenge us, encourage us to live our lives to bring you pleasure. And God, today we do pray for every family that's lost children in Iraq or in Syria. I just pray, God, that you would just anoint them with the oil of joy. I pray, God, somehow in the supernatural way you'd place on them a garment of praise. And God, I do pray for the ashes in which they have witnessed, they have seen, that God, you would bring healing to their souls and to their hearts. And somehow Jesus Christ, which only you have the ability to do, that a crown of beauty will be placed on these parents' heads. I pray for those today around the world that feel like ashes maybe. But God, that you would help them to see that you delight in them in their solitary confinement or in their abuse. People calling out your name, that they would just be a great aroma to you, but that you, Jesus, would reach down and support them and encourage them and speak to them, even audibly, Jesus, if you would. God, I thank you for Journey Church, and I pray you'll continue to call out the identity of this church. I pray an anointing on them as they seek to enter into two windows in this Christmas season. And I pray that they would just not be able to go to sleep any night without contemplating whether you're laughing with enjoyment and pleasure over their lives. God, I pray this church will be full of oaks of righteousness for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Leslie, and for letting your family come and be with us. And yes. Now, let me just, as before we finish with our last song, let me just be very clear about what we're doing. We are partnering with 1040 this Christmas, and we want to be able to provide one of these schools at least. Now, if we can do more than that, praise the Lord, that'd be awesome. But we want to, at the very least, be able to provide a school for these kids that will provide what they need for a year. And that cost is going to be $4,000. So we want, over these next 6 weeks, to be able together to give $4,000. Now, if you want to write a check for $4,000, come see me. That hasn't happened yet. But if you would like to participate in any way, if that's $5, $100, $1,000, whatever you would like to give, over these next 6 weeks, we'd like for this to be a part of each of our Christmas planning. Now, I know some of you are getting ready to go in to buy gifts, and you're thinking about your Christmas list, and the average American will be in debt up to their eyeballs by January 1st, just paying off Christmas. I hope if you've been with us for more than a couple of years that you've begun to see Christmas differently and that you won't fall into that trap. But we also hope that you'll learn with us the benefit of being generous at a time when we remember the birth of our Savior. And so this is what we are committing to do. Now, let me also just, they did not mention this, maybe a little bit, but Chad and Leslie are in the process of adopting. And if you would like to pick up a candle in the back, that's going to help go to some of their adoption fees. And for some of you, I know, who are aware of the process of adoption, it can be very costly. Some of you know Chad and Leslie, and you may want to give towards that as well. If you would like to give a donation towards their adoption costs, they didn't ask for this, but we're just offering this, then you can give that this morning. Write it either on an envelope or write on your check in the little memo line that that's what it's for, and we'll make sure that that goes to them as well. But again, let me just thank Chad and Leslie for being here. This is not just a ministry to a group of people on the other side of the world. This is our responsibility as redeemed followers of Jesus to say that we can't just worry about us in our area. We have to worry about those in the other part of the world that don't even know who Jesus is. So this is just a wonderful opportunity for us to be involved and to recognize that we get to share the gospel, not just here, been in many places. You guys have been so wonderful about this over the years. I'm very excited about doing that this year as well. So we're going to close with our offering and with one last song. And again, we're just so glad that you're here. If you're a guest, we hope you'll come back and join us next week as well.